Chapter 20.
Your Majesty, please.
King Aelin Gunder the Ninth threw himself down into his throne.
Brant! It's one man! One!
He swore a stream of curses.
You'd have me send my family to the country for fear of one man?
Your Majesty,
Lord General Brant Aegon said,
the definition of man might not cover Durzo Blint. I understand the implications.
Indeed. Do you know the talk it will cause if I send my family away on a moment's notice?
The king cursed again, unconsciously.
I know what they say about me. I know.
I'll not give them this to drool on, Brant. Your Majesty, this assassin is not given to idle threats. For the sake of all that's holy, he murdered his own apprentice just to make a point.
A sham.
Come on, General. You were drugged. You didn't know what was going on.
My body was afflicted, not my mind. I know what I saw. The king sniffed, then curled his lip as he caught the faint odor of brimstone in the air.
Damn it! Can't those idiots make anything work?
One of the ducts that carried hot air from the Voss Island crack just north of the castle had broken again.
He doesn't appreciate how much the engineers save us every year by heating the entire castle with pipes embedded in the very stones. He doesn't care that the turbines spinning in the wind rising from the crack give him the power of 200 windmills. That he smells brimstone once a fortnight infuriates him.
Aegon wondered what god Cenaria had offended to deserve such a king. He should have pushed Regnus Gyre. He should have spelled it out to him more clearly. He should have lied to him about what would happen to Nalia's children by Aelin. He could have served Regnus proudly. Proudly and honorably.
Maybe you saw him kill a boy, the king said. Who cares?
You should. Regnus would have.
It was obviously some street rat he picked up for the purposes of impressing you.
With all due respect, sire, you're mistaken. I've dealt with formidable men. I've faced Dorgon Dunwall in single combat. I've fought under Lord Greyblin's Lay-Naught Lancers.
Yes, yes, 1,000 goddamn battles from my goddamn father's time. Very impressive, the king said. But you never learned anything about ruling, did you?
General Aegon stiffened.
Not like you have, Your Majesty.
Well, if you had, General, you'd know that you can't damage your own reputation.
He cursed long and unfluently again.
Flee my own castle in the night!
There was no working with him. The man shamed Aegon, and he should have shamed himself. Yet Aegon was sworn to him, and he'd decided long ago that an oath measured the man who gave it. It was like his marriage. He wouldn't take back the vows simply because his wife couldn't give him children. But did vows hold when your own king had plotted to take your life? And not in honorable battle, but with an assassin's blade in the night? That had been before Aegon had sworn his allegiance to the man, however. Now that he had sworn, it didn't matter that, had he known then what he knew now, he would have chosen to die rather than serve Aelin Gunder the Ninth.
Your Majesty, may I at least have permission to hold an exercise tonight for my guards and include your mage? The captain is in the habit of doing such things unannounced to keep the men at ready.
Though I wonder why I preserve your empty head. Oh, to hell with you, General. You and your goddamn paranoia. Fine, do as you please.
General Aegon turned to leave the throne room. The king's predecessor, Davin, had been empty-headed too, but he'd known it, and he'd deferred to his counselors. Aelin the Tenth, this king's son, was only 14 years old, but he showed promise. He seemed to have gotten some of his mother's intelligence, at least.
If 10 were old enough to take power, maybe I'd provoke this assassin. Dear God, maybe I'd hire him.
General Aegon shook his head. That was treason, and it had no place in a general's mind. Fergund Safasti had been appointed to serve in Senaria more for his political acuity than his talent. The truth was, he'd barely earned his blue robe, but his talents, if not his talent, had served him well in Senaria. The king was both stupid and foolish, but he could be worked with, if one didn't mind petulance and showers of curses. But tonight, Fergund was wandering the castle as if he were a guard. He'd appealed to the king, but Aelin the Ninth, they called him Niner, short for the 9-year-old and not the Ninth, only when drinking with friends, had cursed him and ordered him to do whatever the Lord General said. As far as Fergund was concerned, Lord General Aegon was a relic. It was too bad that he hadn't been able to adapt to Niner. The old man had things to offer. Then again, the fewer counselors the king had, the more important Fergund became. Disgusted with his knight's assignment, what was he looking for anyway? Fergund continued his lonely circuit of the castle yard. He'd considered asking for an escort, but mages were supposed to be more deadly than any 100 men. If that wasn't exactly true in his case, it didn't do him any good to advertise the fact. The castle yard was an irregular diamond, 300 paces wide, and almost 400 long. It was bordered on the northwest and southeast by the river, as the Plith, split for half a mile by Voss Island, came rushing back together south of the castle. The yard was animated with the sounds of men, horses, and dogs settling down for the night. It was early enough that men were still up gambling in the barracks, and the sounds of a lyre and good-natured cursing floated a short way into the dense fog. Fergund pulled his cloak tighter around his shoulders. The sliver of moon wasn't doing much to penetrate the cold fog pouring off the rivers and through the gates. The wet air kissed Fergund's neck, and he regretted his recent haircut. The king had mocked his long hair, but Fergund's lover had adored it. And now that his hair was short, the king mocked him for that. The fog billowed strangely at the iron gate, and Fergund froze. He embraced the power. Embrace? He'd always thought it felt more like a wrestling match, and peered through the fog. Once he held it, the power calmed him. He could see nothing threatening, and his hearing and sight were sharper. Breathing deeply, Fergund made himself continue past the gate. He didn't know if it was his imagination, but it felt like the fog pressed against the whole wall of the castle like an invading army and poured in through the breach of the iron gate. Fog pooled almost to his shoulders, and the torches mounted over the heads of the two guards did little to cut the mist. Nodding to them, Fergund turned and started walking back to the castle. He felt a weight between his shoulder blades, as of eyes boring into him, and repressed the urge to look over his shoulder. But as he walked toward the stables, the feeling only grew. The air felt heavy, so thick it was like walking through soup. The fog seemed to curl around him in his passing and lick at the back of his bare neck, taunting him. With the rising of the fog, the moon and stars totally disappeared. The world was enveloped in cloud. Fergund stumbled as he passed by the corner of the stables. He threw a hand out to steady himself against the wood, but felt something yielding for a moment before it disappeared. Something like he'd touched a man standing there. Staggering back in fear, Fergund clawed for the embrace. He could see nothing. There was no one there. Finally, his talent came to him. He caught a brief flicker of movement into the stables, but it might have been his imagination. Had he smelled garlic? Surely that could only be his imagination. But why would he imagine such a thing? He hesitated for a long moment, but he was a weak mage, not a weak man. He readied a fireball and drew his knife. He came wide around the corner, straining every sense magical and mundane. He jumped through the door and looked around frantically. Nothing. The horses were in their stalls, their odors mingling with the heavy fog. He could hear only the stamping of hooves and the even breathing of sleeping animals. Fergund probed the darkness for any sign of movement, but saw nothing. The longer he looked, the more foolish he felt. Part of him thought he should go deeper into the stables, and part of him wanted to leave now. No one would know that he'd left. He could go to the other side of the castle and wander there. On the other hand, if he single-handedly caught an intruder, the king would doubtless reward him well. If Niner was good for anything, it was rewarding his friends. Slowly, Fergund drew the fire he'd prepared into visible form. It flickered a little, and then held, burning in his palm. A horse in the first stall snorted, suddenly shying back, and Fergund moved to shush the beast. But with fire in one hand and a gleaming knife in the other, the horse was hardly calmed. It whinnied loudly and stomped on the ground, waking its neighbors. "Shh," Fergund said. "Relax. It's only me." But an unfamiliar man with mage fire was too much for the animals. They started neighing loudly. The stallion in the second stall started kicking.
"Would you stop scaring horses?"
A loud voice said behind him. Fergund was so startled, he dropped his knife and lost the fire in his hand. He wheeled around. It was just the stable master, a squat, bearded man from the Isle of Planga. Dorg Garnet came in behind Fergund, holding a lantern. He gave Fergund a look of pure disdain while the mage picked his knife gingerly out of a pile of horse droppings. Dorg moved down the row quickly, and at his touch and his voice, the horses calmed instantly. Fergund watched, feeling awkward. Finally, Dorg came back past him. "I was just patrol—"
"Use a lantern, you lot," Dorg said.
He stuck his lantern into Fergund's hand. He walked away, saying to himself,
"Scaring my damn horses with your witch fire."
"It's mage fire. There's a difference," Fergund said to his back. Dorg stormed out of the stables, and Fergund had barely turned around when he heard a thump. Fergund ran outside. Dorg was lying on the ground, unconscious. Before he could shout anything, Fergund felt something hot in his neck. He reached a hand up and felt someone take the lantern gently out of his other hand. His muscles went rigid. The light went out.